Ladies and gentlemen, it is about time to get notified.
KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
Good morning, Irvine and the world. This is Ryan Fullen, DJ Ginger MC, with an in-studio guest and an out-studio guest and a dog somewhere in the world. You are listening to Get Notified here at KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, and we're streaming all over the world at KUCI.org. I am pumped up today because one of the most difficult things in the world is writing a book, and then one of the most difficult things in the world is selling the book that you've written. I like to say that your book is your new business card, and your business card is your new bookmark. I repeat, if you have a business card, it's not as good as having a book, because your book is your new business card, and your business card is your new book. I have two gentlemen here today, and I say gentlemen because they are both very much a gentleman, but they have the deepest and richest voices I've ever had on the radio. So if you have bass, I suggest to turn it down, because these gentlemen, when they talk, will turn the bass up for you. My first guest, I'll see how long I can keep that going. My first guest is Daniel England. Whether or not he's from England, he speaks Polish and has an interesting story about a dog named Hobo, and has just completed his second book. And in a conversation over lunch, we got into, well, how do I market this thing online? And we had a fun conversation, enough to confuse him with a long list of things to do. And I said, why don't we get on the radio? But why don't we talk with somebody who actually knows what they're talking about? So I've brought on Leonard Simchek, who has an amazing announcer voice and even is even more of an amazing writer. He's authored a few books himself, and I want to introduce them so that you can hear these illustrious voices that we've been talking about. So, Daniel England, roll call. How are you this morning, sir?
Morning, Ryan. Thank you for that build-up. I hope I don't disappoint. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I think that was great. And Mr. Leonard, are you there?
Yes, I am, Ryan. So glad to be here as well with the bass community.
Yes, I think we've got everybody has now turned down their bass on their car, which is a hard thing to find sometimes. You have to push a bunch of mode buttons and whatnot. So today, we are covering the topic of social media when it comes to promoting your book online. And Leonard, you are the king when it comes to book writing, and I have attended one of your writing naked workshops, although we were not naked, I want everyone to know. You can get into a little bit about that. But Leonard, why don't you kick off the hour here by just giving us a little background about yourself. Feel free to do some shameless plugs. I know you've got a new book out about love, and maybe why is it so important to get your voice out there in the world in the written form? Is writing a book, or are books dead or not? Leonard, your turn.
Well, thank you, Ryan, for that. Well, really, writing has been a passion of mine for good 30 years. So I've been writing for well over 30 years, and I believe that writing is kind of a spiritual practice. It's also our healing. Stephen King once said that writing is his form of therapy, and I'm a therapist as well, so definitely writing is therapy. So I believe this here, Ryan, is that in writing a book, we get a chance to find our voice and put our voice out into the world. I know in your introduction you said the book is your calling card, and that's true. It's who we are in the world and how we present ourselves. So, you know, I have two passions in writing. One is I write novels, so I have a couple of novels that are about a neurotic psychologist, and no reference to myself, of course, and a couple of self-help books, The Roadmap Home, Your GPS Inner Peace, and the recent book that I did with my dear friend Mari Frank, a mediation attorney, Fighting for Love, Turn Conflict into Intimacy. So writing has just been a passion. I've watched the whole evolution of writing from marketing and promotion, from traditional publishing and getting it out there to how it is today, because really online is the marketplace. And I know we're going to be talking a lot about that, but I'm very happy to be on your show to talk about this writing process and how to actually get your books out there, which is I am continually on this learning curve. So thank you for inviting me on your show.
And thank you for letting me suck all of the brain power that you have and distribute it across the entire world. And you, of all people, are one of the most kind-hearted, want-to-share-first, give-give-give-ask kind of people. So when it came to book writing and talking about how this launches online, one thing that I know about you, Leonard, is that you are always learning. And I love that, because you can't sort of become stagnant and be successful. And you have found success by admittedly saying, and I don't even know if admittedly is a word. It is. I get the thumbs up from Daniel. Is that we're all learning here. There's no one formula. And have you written any children's books or children's self-help books?
You know, I it's funny. One of my very first books I wrote, I was living in Australia at the time. That was back in 1980. I wrote a children's book, Whose Toes Knows. It never really went any it didn't go very far at all. I got an illustrator, worked on it, but then after a while, I just didn't go very far with that project. But then I used to tell stories to my children. I've got two kids. They're now 38 and 36. But when they were young, I would tell them this story to put them to bed. And they were so excited about these fantasy creatures that I created, about creatures who lived in the mountain. And people said, that's a great story. You should write that up. So in 1984, I started writing this fantasy novel for children. Well, that was my very first attempt at writing, and it was like a budding architect trying to create the Taj Mahal. I failed miserably. I just didn't have the tools, the skills, but that pushed me on the journey to start writing. And as it happened, I started attending writing classes, just immersed myself in, and then what I tell writers, beginning writers, is write what you know, because that's the easiest thing to do. So my first book, a novel, was Cuckoo Forevermore, which was a satire on psychotherapy. I was a therapist working at a child and adolescent psychiatry department at the time, and boy, it was a pretty crazy place. And so I had all the material to just start writing and put it into a book.
I love it. So write what you know. And Daniel, you know about Hobo.
I do.
Tell us about Hobo and this crazy story, because he catches frisbees. You taught him how to catch frisbees. He taught you how to love dogs. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going on here.
He did. And I want to comment about something you said earlier. The writing for me is, I hope it's not my business card. Perhaps it is. For me, it's kind of a release. The other things that I do in the world are quite serious. Environmental energy, environmentally conscious energy, and things like that. And so for me, the children's books are kind of a release. It's something that's...
it's fun. It's an escape.
And it's a little bit of a passion. So that brings me... Your question was about this little dog. It's my chance to express my own journey. When I started out, I didn't like dogs. I didn't grow up with dogs, and I found them sort of noisy and sloppy and kind of a mess.
Leonard, what is your opinion on dogs? Are you a dog lover or cat lover?
Well, you know, my kids were allergic to dogs, so I was very protective about my kids. So if a dog came near my kids, I would stand in front of them. So I really had to protect them. But now I'm quite okay with dogs.
Okay, so we've all been there. I grew up with dogs and cats, and then I realized how much fur cats have, and that's distanced our relationship a little bit. And I just have two stuffed animals and a sailboat, and that's where I rock these days. So dogs are cool, but you didn't like them, Daniel.
Keep going. Didn't, and in fact, as a kid, I was afraid of dogs, so it was sort of one more negative mark in the dog column for me. A very close friend of mine ended up adopting this very scraggly little mutt from the pound. And then almost immediately, she got a promotion that took her very far away for a long period of time. And I ended up having to dog sit for this dog for about 12 weeks of time.
That's a good friend, sir.
So I came over every day and I, you know, walked the dog and clean up after the dog. And over that period of time, the dog kind of gradually taught me to, you know, how dogs communicate and what they do. And you know, kind of how dogs show affection. And over that course of time, I, with the help of my friend, taught this dog to catch a Frisbee.
Which is no easy task, by the way. Especially when the dog is smaller than a Frisbee itself.
The dog weighs 9 pounds. and so this is a very tiny Frisbee, but we got it to work out. It broke the task down into steps. The dog didn't know how to catch anything, and I had to kind of break it into pieces. And the story is one of perseverance and a little bit of one about how to take maybe a complex problem, break it into smaller pieces so that it can be solved bit by bit. So I've sort of retold actual events. I've reinterpreted kind of from a dog's point of view for children's consumption. And this is sort of my expression because the dog taught me as much as I taught him.
And we're talking about how everyone can learn from everyone. And ladies and gentlemen, you can learn from a dog. You can learn from a dog and two gentlemen with deep voices and the president. And if you did or didn't know, Daniel is the president of the Entrepreneurs Organization. If you don't know about the EO Group, it's basically people who have been very successful that get together to become more successful and go and have awesome fun trips and team building and mastermind groups. And it's a support system for entrepreneurship on the high tier level.
That's pretty good. Correction, I'm the president of the local Orange County chapter, not the entire institution.
Good. So you're kind of like the vice president of the whole institution, but the president of the local organization.
It's a bit of an overstatement, but yes, I am the president of the local Orange County chapter.
And Leonard has probably been president of our Toastmasters like 16 times so far. Is that right, Leonard?
No, just once. But, you know, I want to mention, listening to Daniel, it seems to me that the message is, and I think this is a very key thing in a book, what Daniel has done is he captured the message. So his message, as I'm picking up, is about perseverance, is about taking this complex problem, breaking it down into some steps to make it happen. And he's also taken some adversity in life that he didn't like dogs and actually turned that into a positive. So in a book, there's usually some overriding message that we want to convey. And so Daniel, you've got a great message. Persevere. Any problem can be broken down. And if you start off with something you don't like, you can actually end up liking that person, or in your case, the dog.
And that's a great point, Leonard. How important is it to really have a focus in your book? Because as you know, I'm in the process of writing my 313 book, and it's all about brevity and very clear messaging. And it's very difficult because I have so much that I want to say. Talk to me about the importance and less intimidating factor of a book being okay to be centralized and focused around sort of one theme. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, all books really have a message. Even novels, there's a premise. There's a premise in a novel. So there's, love conquers all, or you can overcome adversity. There's usually novels have some kind of a message, a kernel of a message in the story. And whether it's fiction or nonfiction, there is a compelling message. The more compelling the message, the more interesting the book. And that message is going to be pushing you. And the message also helps you find your audience. So as I'm listening to Daniel talk about his book, well, he's got a message which is important, and it's about dogs. Or his dog, and so it takes us into who is the audience. So you've got your message, and who is the audience that you're selling your book to? Those are two important aspects to link up together. So there's a lot of dog lovers, and there's children who love stories about dogs. I mean, it's a great niche, a great audience, and there's a broader audience as well who can be taken into the story. But the key is you have your compelling message, and then you have your audience. So let's take a look in the political realm. You have Donald Trump's message and Hillary Clinton's message, and then they find their own audiences. So and then they'll repeat their message over and over again to their particular audience. The same thing goes with a writer, to have the message and to try to link that message into the audience, because that audience is the one who's going to create the sales and help a book become successful.
Leonard, for those people who don't know, you help people write books, you ghostwrite for people, you take them through the process of writing their own book, and you're kind of like the one-stop shop for, you're like the Jiffy Lube for people that want to write a book.
You have such a great way, Ryan, of synthesizing a complex thing into a very simple metaphor. So I guess I never thought of the Jiffy Lube, but yeah, I do teach people how to write books and get published. I've helped many authors get their books out there, and I've ghostwritten a book for a Holocaust survivor, which is a very profound experience that I went through myself. And I do help individuals, so, find the message, craft the message, and then move it through the process. So, again, I've done four books out there, and one ghostwritten book that I wrote, produced, and got it out there. So writing a book, really, for me, knowing the process isn't an overwhelming process. I know the steps, and probably just like Daniel, you break down a complex problem into these small steps, and then voila, the book is out there. It's out there. It's published, got with a cover, and has an audience. So yes, I help individual writers or those who want to write a book move forward. As a matter of fact, Ryan, if I can put a shameless plug, I have a course coming up this Saturday, Write Your Book and Get It Published, in Dana Point. So people can go to my website if they want to check it out.
Nice. And I think that you're doing a really great thing, because everybody needs their oil changed and nobody wants to get under the hood and, get dirty. And so you're there through the process. And what I like is that it's really up to the person you work with on how involved they want to be. If hypothetically you had somebody who also had a deep voice, and maybe that's how you resonated together to bond, and you met over coffee, and then he says, "Hey, I published this book. It's about a dog and a frisbee, but now what do I do?" Let's pretend that that conversation happens, and it is happening, because you mentioned that it's all about the online sale. And I want our listeners today to take away some really key tools that they can do to push their book out there in the world. But a lot of these things we're going to talk about here in the next 40-45 minutes can apply to not just a book, but any type of product, because you're really talking about knowing your market, knowing your message, knowing your audience. So whether you're a resource at UCI on campus, or whether you're a startup, or you've got a new app, some of these principles about getting your book sold online I think are very applicable. So, Leonard, I'm going to throw you under the bus here with Mr. Daniel.
Okay, so here's a couple of things. So, I just had a grandson born a year ago, and so he's 1 year old now. And the metaphor that I use is, so I want to write a book. I get pregnant. I have this gestation period of writing the book and expanding, and then it gets published. The baby is born.
Now,
when a baby is born, do you just leave the baby in the crib and the baby's going to grow by itself?
Depends on the parent, probably.
I guess so. But when the baby is born, that's really when you have to start nurturing and caring for the baby. And a lot of work, a lot of authors love the process of writing or getting the book out there, but the hard part really is marketing, getting it out into the world. And so I'm contrasting when my first book came out in 1996. I did all the traditional, my publisher organized the radio interviews, and we had newspapers, and I did lots of book signings at the brick-and-mortar bookshops. So that was done back in the 90s. That was the traditional way of getting a book out there. But these days, as we know, it's really swung an awful lot to the marketplace is the website, the online. That is where people are really promoting and selling books. Just to go to Amazon, people don't go to brick-and-mortar bookstores that much anymore. They go to Amazon to buy their books. So really, how can I drive traffic to Amazon to be able to purchase my book? Now, here is my learning curve, Ryan. I would not say that I am the expert of social media, because my learning curve is I've had to go from traditional and really immerse myself in learning this process. So I am continually learning, how can I promote and really get my books out into the world? And this is my learning curve, and I think it's all of our learning curves. We're all learning about how to actually make this successful for ourselves. And I think there are two things that are really important these days. Number one, we have to connect. So I know you've talked about this an awful lot. When I've heard you give talks, Ryan, you know, the connection is so important. Really, in social media, we're here to connect with others. It's not just here to sell. We're here to connect and to share. And we're also here to be authentic. Those are the kind of the two currencies that are important today. People want someone who's authentic, and they want someone who wants to connect with you. So the more connection you have and the more authenticity you have, the deeper the relationship you're going to be building. And as I hear you saying all the time, Ryan, because I'm learning from you, is you have to build the relationship. And that really is the currency these days, building a relationship. That's how people are interested in your book, interested in what you have to say, and interested in eventually purchasing your book.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There's our show. That's everything you need to know. Talk about wrapping it up. So you, sir, are talking about the process of writing a book is like the process of, growing a child inside of a human. And then once the baby's born and your book is published, you have this sort of false sense of reality like, hey, now the hard work is done. But it's really, that's when things have just begun. It's the sleepless nights. It's the crying. It's the, your book essentially is crying at you like, give me attention. Daniel, what do you think about that analogy? I know that we're all men here, and I'm probably the biggest feminist that anybody would ever know. So I'm okay with this analogy. What do you think, Daniel?
I had never considered in those terms before, but it makes a lot of sense in that the writing of the book actually was the easy part. So if I want to link it back to
and
your
sometimes
baby
making
analogy,
the baby is easy part. Hey, let's not get obscene here, guys. We're regulated by the FCC.
You know, insemination can be the fun, you know.
Okay, so moveon.com. Let's go. We are a all audience show here.
Indeed. So that the writing of it actually was the easy part. Once that was done, there was sort of a now what moment, and that let me, tackle the publishing part, which was, its own new challenge, and I learned a lot and got through that. And then once it's published, then there's a brand new now what moment.
So you're saying that your book and Hobo, they're crying.
That's right.
Okay. I think this is an interesting point because whether you're a startup or whether you are somebody out there that's creating something, like I don't want you to substitute the word book with anything because the process of creating it sometimes is the fun, exciting, energetic part. And then when you get out there in the world and it's not validated because people are, it's like when nobody buys your book, they're calling your baby ugly and nobody likes that, right? So Daniel, do you feel that you have a baby who is crying?
I do. This part is a whole new world for me. I get wonderful reviews and feedback from the people that actually do read the book, but the crossing that hurdle and getting people to, have a look at it in the first place, that's my challenge.
Now, Ryan, can I interject here? Because I'd like to ask Daniel a few questions
to help us. And Leonard, even though you are not a social media guru, sorry for cutting you off there, even though you're not a social media guru, I think it's inspiring because we're all here to learn. And this is a topic for everybody. Sometimes the best teacher is the information that's out there. And what I like, Leonard, is that you said, look, I'm not the social media pro, but my instinct tells me it's about connectivity and relationships. And that's what I try to demystify for so many people that are trying to get on social media or leveraging social media. I hate it. They say, well, Ryan, I want to leverage social media. Like, what does that mean, leverage social media? Well, I want to, I see that my competitors are using it and they're finding success and whatnot, or they're selling books. They're not. It's not to be leveraged unless you know what it is that you're trying to do with it. And I always like to say a lot of online strategies start offline. There's nothing more offline than authenticity and a relationship. Leonard, tell me your thoughts on the good old-fashioned book tour, because is there still value in that, and do you see that still as popular as an offline strategy?
You know, I did that in with my first book, Cuckoo Forevermore, and back then that worked. back then, you know, people would come to bookstores. You had an audience. The bookstores did flyers. They had huge posters in the window with your book and your picture. And it was a lot of fun to see the book promoted that way. So back then, that was really a really good vehicle to promote your book. Unless you have a really a celebrity name, or you know, your book has really popped, you're J.K. Rowling or whatever, really doing the book signings at traditional bookstores, boy, I personally would put my energy into social media. However, you can use a book signing as a celebration party. So let's say with Daniel in Daniel's book. So there's a number of stages that you want to look at that you can help leverage and put in market your book. So number one is, let's go with the baby metaphor. So there's going to be a party before the baby is born. So you want to have a party. You got to have a celebration party, a launch party. That creates a lot of buzz. So you're creating buzz before you actually have your celebration party, your launch party. And then
so it's like the baby shower. So what you're saying is you have a baby shower.
Baby shower. I think I'm going to write a blog on this here, Ryan.
I'm going to write a book. I'll challenge you to who can write the your book as a baby.
Book. Your book is a baby. There you go. I like that. I'm writing a book. Write your book in 8 weeks. So maybe
that's funny because I'm actually writing a book. The book is a baby, and it's a 7-week course.
It's a 7-week course.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's trying to one up you.
And it's transcribed, and it's actually, you can listen to it in 55 minutes because all I'm going to do is transcribe this conversation, and then my book's written.
That's what you got to do. There you go. You are a master, Ryan. You are a great teacher.
So real quick, as a timeout, because this is one, I always have a lot of these little hacks, and it's not that I'm a master. Maybe I'm a master hacker because I'm always looking for effective ways to do things. One of the most powerful ways to write is to not write, but to talk. To talk and record yourself. I do a lot of speaking, and there's a lot of events that I'll go to where I see missed opportunity. Because if you're out there, let's say, Leonard, somebody asks you to go speak at a Rotary Club or give a keynote on how to write your book in 7 weeks, and your speech is around this analogy of a baby. If you actually take your phone and use the old recorder and you put it up on the podium or the lectern or whatever you want to, wherever you want to situate it, if you record your speech or if somebody videotapes a presentation that you give, you can take that file. You can upload it to rev.com, R-E-V.com. I have no affiliation with it whatsoever, but it's an amazing service. For $1 a minute, they will transcribe it. So oftentimes, I'll give a speech, even if it's an impromptu speech, I'll record myself, I'll submit it to rev.com, R-E-V.com, $1 a minute. So a 30-minute presentation, I pay $30, and I can spin that into 3 or 4 blogs. I did an interview with Jenny Kutaw, this huge VC, amazing woman in the world. I spoke with her for over an hour, and I transcribed it. I paid $45, and then I turned it into 8 different blogs without writing anything. So if you are not a good writer, but you're great off the cuff, or you just like to talk to yourself or your stuffed animals, imagine recording yourself and then having somebody else transcribe it for you. So there's just so many ways to demystify the challenge of writing a book or getting your thoughts on paper, because content is king and queen on the internet. And just like
Ryan,
yes,
that's I just gave a talk, turn your talk into a published book. And really what I encourage every speaker to do is every talk you give can be put into a book. So right now I'm writing 10 books. So I have a program on my computer.
There might have been something wrong with the radio. I think you accidentally said 10 books. Can you maybe it was staticky. So are you actually writing what, one book? Is that what you said?
No, I'm writing 10 books.
You're writing.
So I'm writing. So I have 10 books are in the process. So from here on in, I'll be publishing 2 books a year from here on in. I've already done 2 this year. I was going to do 4, but I realized the marketing was just too overwhelming. So I'm going to saving 2 more books for next year. So really, I've got my 10 titles. There's some fiction, some nonfiction, and in these titles, every time I give a talk, I see where does this talk fit into one of these books, and that talk goes into one of the books. So every time we're giving a talk, that's going into a book that's being created at the same time. So obviously, at one point or another, one book will be calling me to finish it. So one book I'm writing is Fire Your Therapist, Write Your Way to Health. So, again, every time I give a talk about therapy or healing yourself, I try to gear it towards that book. So if you think of writing numerous books, because really to be a successful author, you need more than one title, more than one book. So let's say Daniel, his children's book is his first book, but then he's got another one and another one and another one. Know that more books are coming out because the successful book, really successful book, may not be until your second, third, or fourth book. But you keep on writing and producing because people want to know you as the author. You're continually creating something new for audiences.
That's a great point. And to build off of that from a social media standpoint, there are people who have had very successful books that started as blogs. Oftentimes I'll talk with people, I'll say, you know, are you writing a book? Well, I wouldn't write a book. That's too difficult. Well, do you do any blogging? Well, sure I do. Mark Cuban has a great book and it's sold millions of copies and it's literally just all of his blogs put together. Now, Leonard, you talked about speaking and Daniel's originated from a story and you originated your first failed attempt at a children's book with a story. I've illustrated a children's book that was somebody's story. So this idea of whether it's a speech, whether it's an opinion, whether it's a story, there's an ability to document it. Because if you look at it, this children's book probably, I mean, do you know how many words it is, Daniel?
I don't.
Okay, so it's
48
like,
pages.
It's 48 pages and maybe there's 10 words on a page. So let's say that it's, you know, let's say it's 1,000 words, right? 1,000 words is not that many words, but you've taken those words and you've put pictures with them that you got. Tell us about, okay, I'm getting so excited right here. Let's take a step back. Leonard is having 10 babies right now.
It's quite prolific.
Daniel, how many babies are you having?
I've written 6 books so far.
Wow, okay, cool. And I want people to be inspired out there, not intimidated, because those are 2 different words spelled slightly differently, but they like eliminate them from your vocabulary. If you're telling stories to your children, if you have a dog, if you ever give a speech, you are essentially have the ability to become an author. Is it how many more children are you going to have, Daniel?
as long as we're talking about books,
yeah.
I might have quite a few. and I think I'm doing myself a disservice. I don't know that I've given the title of the book so far, which I think I should do that. This one is called Hobo and the Frisbee, and all of the stories are Hobo and the something. There's Hobo in the Snow, Hobo in the Christmas Tree. There's a series like that.
How many stories do you think you have? If we were in a library and somebody brought you in as a storyteller and there's a bunch of 6 or 7 year olds, how many individual stories do you think you could tell about Hobo?
I could easily do 10 right now.
Okay, so there's your 10 books. That's crazy. Shamelessly plug where they find you on Facebook, because Hobo's about to be an international celebrity at some point. Like, he dresses up in costumes. I've seen him in a cape on a fan. Imagine this little scraggly mutt that's straddling a fan that's on the floor, and he's got a cape and goggles on, and he's just air conditioning himself. Like, that's pretty rock star for a dog.
That post is on our blog. That's actually another dog that we found doing some cute stuff.
It was a stunt double. Stunt double.
That's right.
Where do we find Hobo online?
You can find Hobo on Facebook under Hobo and His Stories. And you can find him on Instagram and Twitter under the same names.
So I've heard of people having Instagram accounts with their dogs. And you have Hobo has his own Instagram account.
He does.
Fantastic. Leonard, shameless plug for you. Where do we find you online? Because we're about halfway through the show.
Okay, you can go to leonardsz.com. I have a long Polish last name, so I condense it. So Leonard, LeonardSZ.com.
Very cool. My shameless plug, I am Ryan Follin. That's at Ryan Follin on Twitter. Every day on Instagram, I draw my own little stories, which I've been inspired to turn into a book. Pictures can become books. I initially started doing my Instagram drawings. My goal was to do one every single day for 360 some odd days. Then I would have a calendar that I could print that people could tear off the little daily sort of slice things. And that's what it started as. And it's one of the favorite things I do every day is just come up with a quote. And now these are illustrations that actually landed me an illustration deal for a website and for a book. And again, we're talking about telling stories can turn into books. Speeches can turn into books. Stick figure drawings can turn into books. and if you want, if you want to,
cute, Ryan, I must say, I mean, your drawings are really cute.
Oh, thank you. They're cute. That's good. I might have to work on my brain a little, but it's just kind of this androgynous person that's either, you know, it's the same character as a man, and then I throw some hair on it, and it's a woman. And last night was measure moving forward. Because sometimes you're so intimidated by how far you have to go based on where you started. But if you look at, well, here I am today. If I can measure moving forward, how much progress am I going to make today? And that is, Leonard, I'm actually writing 11 books now. And that is the measure moving forward is my 12th book.
I know you're not too competitive, Ryan.
Yeah, I sense some one-upsmanship here.
No, it's not one-up Ryan today. It's just like 10-up Ryan today. For some reason, when I'm in a room of authors that have written more than me, then that's intimidating. But I use that as motivation as I measure moving forward. Let's do kind of a powwow, maybe a bow wow for hobo.
Nice.
Let's do a bow wow.
Yeah, can I interject here, Ryan? Because I want to tell Daniel that there's a I met a woman. Her name is Sherry Fink. Oh, a number of years ago. And she writes children's books, and she had one little, her first book was called The Little Rose. And she produced the book, had the book, I believe, printed, and then she started producing more books. So she ended up doing the whole series of books, one, The Little Rose, The Little Firefly, The Little Gnome, and she is the master of social media. I think she got an MBA, but she is the queen of social media. She knew how to really get her book, her children's book, just rocketing in social media. And so I've been watching her, and I've attended a number of her presentations, and she's become a rock star of having her children's books become number one best-selling award-winning books. So if you're wanting someone, I always think it's good to have a model. And for children's books, she would be a great model. You can go to her, and this is her website, sherryfink.com, and just very generous with her wisdom and in sharing her story.
Do you know her cell phone? Can you text her real quick and have her call in?
I don't. I should have organized that, Ryan, but I did not.
All right. Well, next time, if you can get her, I would love to have the queen of social media on the show, and then we can talk about something different like books. And this is a great point, too, because if you're going out there and you're trying to do something online, I do a lot of personal branding exercises with people, and it's intimidating at first. One quick, say, 30-second exercise for personal branding is to find three people who you wish you would be at that caliber or at that level. So, Daniel, my challenge to you, find three authors that have been highly successful writing children's books, and then look at what they are doing. Follow them on social media. Go to their workshops or their webinars or their seminars. If they're on LinkedIn, be on LinkedIn. If they're on Pinterest, be on Pinterest. It's a copycat formula that isn't so much a bad thing like copying. It gives you a baseline. So for me, Gary Vee is the man. And then you've got Michael Hyatt, who book platform just really helped me to understand sort of how to use the stage to your advantage. And then you've got somebody, let's see, if I were to round up my top three, Gary Vee, Michael Hyatt, and I think Tony Robbins is a little bit aggressive. So I would say somebody like Keith Ferrazzi. He's like the networking king. So there, in 15 seconds, I can say I'm the comic. If Gary Vaynerchuk, Michael Hyatt, and Keith Ferrazzi had a baby, maybe I would be that that redheaded ginger. But it's
I like that. That's a great metaphor, Ryan. I yeah, because if you want to be a good parent, you want to follow others who are parenting their children and have really very successful children.
Yeah, it's just not reinventing the wheel. And when it comes to social media, if you have a children's book that you're trying to publish, go search for the most successful children's books, and then how many pages does it have? How many in a series does it have? Like, there are things that work that people put a lot of brain damage into figuring out that you don't necessarily have to. So I think that's a good point.
Now, can I ask, I wanted to jump in and ask Daniel some questions. So your one book is out. Now, do you have your other books, kind of a timeline for when your other books are going to be out there?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now witnessing a psychotherapy session between Daniel and Leonard Simcheck. They are both Polish, and at a certain point, feel free to jump into Polish talk if it gets too hairy. But ladies and gentlemen, we are going to sit back and listen to this therapy session.
You want to listen to Leonard? Yes. So I'd like to kind of, for your audience, to kind of help Daniel take a look at how he can start moving along this whole process. There's a lot of things that he can do. So you have your first book. So your first book, was it published this year?
Yeah, it was published 6 weeks ago.
Wait a minute. His microphone was off that whole time. So, yes, that was good. Actually, we have just now brought him in, and he's laying on the couch.
How long have my microphone been off? The last 20 minutes?
Maybe like the last 40. Okay.
But all that great stuff I've been saying?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, why don't you include that in another book?
Right.
You know what? The book could be called Muted. All right, so wait. I'm sorry. Sorry, I just walked in the door. I'm sorry to interrupt you two. It looks like a good Polish conversation going on. I'm going to step out, and you guys have the floor.
So, Leonard, I'm an absolute newbie at this. So my book came out about 6 weeks ago, A Hobo and the Frisbee. Like I said, I've written six books, and this is the first one that I decided to have illustrated and published. And now that I've done that, which I thought was the hard part, now I've sort of greeted with a whole new... the marketing is actually the hard part, and the whole new set of what now moments. So I've done a little bit. Hobo has his own Facebook page. He's got a Twitter and an Instagram account. The book is not sold in the traditional brick and mortar bookstores. I felt like that really isn't the way to go these days. Hobo and the Frisbee is available on 35,000 websites, including Amazon. But beyond that, I'm sort of a brand new learner here. So
You're a little puppy.
Well, yes, and possibly a terrible parent, I guess, to put it in your analogy here.
You've got Hobo locked in a cage.
Right. So is that bad?
Did you have a launch party? Did you have a launch so that this is the launch? So let me just share with you in 2009 I had the Roadmap Home, Your GPS Inner Peace. That was published in 2009, and I had this huge big launch party, and I hired a marketing company to help me with the launch. So, and that meant that we had like 80 authors participating in this 1 week launch. If you buy this book during this 1 week, you get 80 prizes or 80 gifts and whatever. So, and then they would send out their emails, and there was this whole huge marketing campaign, and the Roadmap Home eventually became an Amazon bestseller as a result of that campaign. But it was, again, using the promotion of all the other people, so these 80 other people who are giving gifts and then sending it out to their email lists. It was like just sending it all out. So really having promotions or having targets like showers, or we're going to have a birthday party or something to this effect, is a way of really creating a buzz, because really that's part of our thing, is creating a buzz for our audience. So it's really good. So you got your first book out, and probably down the line you're going to want to have a website devoted towards your books. So you're going to drive, it sounds like you're selling your books online via Amazon, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so you're selling it on Amazon. Are you selling it through yourself, through your website too, or you don't have a website? Just through Amazon. That's your primary place you're selling it.
No, Amazon is one of the ways to get it. There's 35,000 websites that sell the book. You can find it on Barnes and Noble. Find it through the publisher, Friesen Press.
So is that part of the service that you subscribed with, or the publisher that you went through?
Yeah, that's correct. So they helped me a little bit, and they got it through those channels, which is why I chose them.
I see. Okay. Great.
I like the idea of having a launch party.
Your dogs.
Yeah.
At a dog park.
Well, I guess maybe I need a little help even getting to that part, because if I can make the birthday analogy, I'd hate to throw a party and then have no one show up. So I need some help.
There's this little thing called like RSVPs, mm-hmm. and like you have friends. Why don't you
allegedly?
Here's an idea: piggyback it off of an existing event, like an EO event or something like that, where you can maybe, as the president, declare that you recognize new authors as part of your community outreach, and then you introduce yourself, and then everybody sings "Happy Birthday to Hobo." But what I like, and what I want people to take away, is that Leonard's suggestion of a baby shower before the book is published, and then a birthday when it's published, that's an offline strategy. But there you can get people to realize the value that you're providing. You can bring their kids. You can have a reading. There's a lot of photo opportunities. You can do Facebook Live. Offline events are really meat and potatoes for sharing online. So don't be afraid that nobody's going to come to Hobo's party, but think about how many people would you be able to invite right now?
I could be able to invite maybe 100, 150, something
okay.
like that.
Now, how many people would come to your birthday?
I would guess about 30.
Okay, so why don't you piggyback your birthday or your wife's birthday or some big holiday event? Like you could have a 4th of July launch and bring your dog dressed up as a political figure or something like that. You could play on the politics. You could have a debate viewing party where the hobo is the one, like you're more focused. I don't know. But the point here is, don't be afraid to throw a party because you don't think anybody's going to show up.
Well, but, you know, Ryan, I would just throw a party. It is a book celebration party. Think of it this way. A lot of work went into your book. A lot of work went into birthing your book. So, you know, to me, I'm rather shameless in having a party. I call it a celebration launch party. And so I send announcements. I choose people that I send emails to. Here's a celebration launch party. I'll have it at a place that can accommodate maybe 80 to 100 people. I'll provide some beverages, maybe some snacks and whatever. And say, here's a party. Come join me for the party. And, of course, the implication is if I go to a book launch party, I'm going to buy a book. And so you're going to have your books to sell, and you can sign, and it's a lot of fun. You want to make it entertaining. You're going to talk a little bit about why you wrote the book and maybe even read the story from the book. I mean, you're going to make this a happening. People love happenings these days. So create a happening. And as Ryan says, that's part of the social media promotion. You take pictures, you put your pictures on Facebook, you know, and then in those pictures, you take a video of you giving a talk. You put that onto Facebook. When Mari and I, we had our Fighting for Love celebration party at Mari's house. So we had a video. We cropped the video down, put it on our Fighting for Love Facebook page. And from there, we had other type of pictures. You know, it was a celebration. And we're just promoting, just sharing, basically, what we did. And that creates more of the buzz. So by all means, Daniel, have a party and invite me.
Yeah, at least you have two people here.
That's right.
And again, I think that's such a great piece of advice. Here we are on a show talking about social media, but Leonard, you just lit up. You should probably check yourself because you got so excited about that. It's like there's something amazing about bringing people together, real humans in a room together, and that is fodder for a great social media strategy. We talk a lot about the difference between likable and shareable content. Likeable content is stuff that maybe is more polarized. You like it, but you don't want it in your feed. Shareable content is stuff that is in your voice that you get excited about that makes you look smarter, but you're a lot more likely to share things of pictures that you take on your own phone. So if you were trying to get a picture of you and Hobo and trying to get other people to share strictly online, that's way more difficult than taking a photo with the person, with Hobo, with a backdrop that has your hashtag on their phone, and then they're going to have more of a chance to share because they were involved with it. The more people you get involved with, the more relationship they're gonna find. And I was at an event for this TEDx event that I've got going on, and the number of people that showed up was less than I expected. And I was talking to my mom a couple days later, and she said something that really stuck with me. Maybe this is my 13th book, and she said, it only takes one. It only takes one person to influence in the audience to make it worthwhile. It only takes one relationship to build who has a second cousin who's in charge of a crazy publishing company. It's only one person that maybe has a relative who has a son with special needs that has a dog, and that's special, and they want to help support you and your books. So getting away from this idea that more is better, better quality is better. And that's my 14th and 15th book.
That is so true, Ryan. I think that's one of my big learning curves, is that, you know, people think, God, I got to have 5,000 Facebook fans or whatever. You know, the key is just having quality contacts, fans who really love your story, will want to share your story with other people. I mean, I've got some readers who are very devoted readers, and they just love my stories. And then they're the ones that says, boy, you got to read this book. And those are the people you really want to have as your people, your audience. It's so crucial.
And I think, are you inspired, Daniel?
Absolutely. I'm taking notes as you guys talk, which is probably not great for radio since...
Well, it's better than the keyboards, because sometimes I get in trouble for typing because usually tweeting and stuff, so I put myself on mute. But
I'm trying to write quietly.
Now, question. Do you still know how to write and like pen and paper?
I do. I mean,
Leonard, do you know how to write with pen and paper?
The first thing I do in the morning is I write pen and paper in my journal. I'm a compulsive writer, so I have to write in my journal. But when I'm writing books, of course, it has to be on the computer.
See, because I've noticed over the years that my handwriting has gotten sloppier and sloppier,
yeah,
and my words
true.
Per minute have just increased crazy style. I just want to make sure people still know how to write.
Well, I can't write with pen and paper as fast as I can type. I'm a very fast typist, so that's where I go.
I can write on pen and paper. The challenge is reading it later.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we have a couple minutes left here, and one of the things I just want to touch on, because it's maybe a 2 or 3 minute section, is being intimidated by the storytelling is one part, but I think we can get you over that. But getting intimidated by publishing the book and or getting the illustrations done if you're not a good illustrator. Daniel, tell us about your experience with getting your illustrations done. And then Leonard, I want you to give the 1 minute pitch on how people can actually publish themselves. And then we'll do a couple, finish up with some shameless pugs, and then we'll sing Celebration to Hobo and we'll call it a day.
If I had to do the illustration myself, it would end up looking like stick figures. Fortunately, my wife pitched in heavily on this part, and she actually arranged an illustrator through Fiverr.com, and we were actually to get illustrations done that way.
And Fiverr is a freelance site where you literally get pretty much just about anything for $5.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And then we made some good use of that sort of trimming and flipping some of those illustrations, so we got the most mileage we could out of it.
So you can write a book that's illustrated and you don't have to do the illustrations.
That's right.
But if you like stick figures, you can contact me and maybe I'll illustrate it for you. So again, we're just trying to break down this process. Why not make a book? Why not put together your thoughts on paper? Why not wake up and journal in the morning? Why not blog? Why not do some sort of expression of what consumes your day, or what you're excited about, or what people ask you the most frequent questions that people ask you, are the answers that you're the best at. And as Leonard said, you need to write about what you're good at. So Leonard, wrap up the show to inspire people that they don't have to go sell to a big publisher where they don't make no money, but they can actually publish their own books, right? This is a whole new world.
So true. You know, and Mari Frank and I, in our Fighting for Love, Turn Conflict into Intimacy book, We've both been published by traditional publishers, but we made the decision that we wanted to publish ourselves. So we're independent publishers. We have our own independent imprint. So Mari's is Porpoise Press, mine is GPS Books. And the key about being an independent publisher or self-publishing is you have the right to choose which cover, the interior design. You are in control of the process. So a publisher can't say, here's your cover, take it or leave it, or this is how we're going to do it, or we don't like 100 pages, we're going to scrap it. You basically are the creator, and you can choose what kind of baby you want to create, as opposed to being genetically modified by a publisher.
Right. So we're talking about control over the process.
This is my baby. This is how I want to produce it. And really, with the publishing platforms these days, there's a number of publishing platforms. There's CreateSpace, there's Ingram Spark. There's a number of publishing platforms that you can basically upload your files and have your book produced easily practically for free. I do tell authors, though, make sure your book looks professional. So if you're going to be doing it yourself, put the extra time and effort and the cost to make sure it looks professional. Because if I have something that I've created, I want it to be as good as if not better than a published product.
Wow, we love it. So we're here at the end of our show. You're listening to Get Notified with Daniel and Leonard. Check out Hobo and His Stories on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Hobo and His Stories. Then you want to go out there and buy the book, Hobo and the Frisbee. That's if you want to, because this is public radio and you do what you want. But I bet you his party's going to be free. So keep an eye on Daniel. And with Leonard, he's going to tell you how to write a book in 8 weeks. I'll tell you how to write it in 7, but his is probably better than mine. And what's funny is that Writers on Writing is coming up next, but I feel like we had a Writers on Writing show. Be authentic. Get your message out there. Don't be intimidated. And if you are, figure it out. You can do this. All right. Don't forget to say hi to your grandma today. Ladies and gentlemen, we are ending with a little bit of jazz because we're feeling jazzy this morning. We will see you next week and every Wednesday here at 8 a.m. Gentlemen, on the count of three, say goodbye. It's been a pleasure. Well, you just say goodbye, and then I'll say it's a pleasure. 1, 2, 3.
Goodbye.
Leonard,
goodbye.
Leonard,
thank you so much, Ryan.
Leonard, you missed that. You got to hit it on cue. 1, 2, 3, and say goodbye. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You guys missed it. 1, 2, 3.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh my gosh. You are better writers than you are audience or guests on my show. But I'm really excited to have you here today. And we're going to end up. Stick around. We'll see you next week. Ladies and gentlemen, I need to get the turn on for the CD1. Here's some jazzy jazz. Have a great morning and a great day.